What's up, you little creeps, and welcome to another episode. Today we have an awesome guest. If you'd like to introduce yourself, he's up there.
Right here, antisocial whore named Cody. I appreciate y'all for having me. I've been looking forward to coming on this show for a strong minute, so thank y'all.
Don't hype us up like that. It ain't that.
Look, I love y'all content, so this is
thank you, man.
Says the man who's got like 13K followers on TikTok.
Look, hey, y'all got the engagement. I'm still trying to rip them here.
All right, so today we decided to talk OGs versus remakes. We have a shit ton on this list, so we're probably going to make a part two because there's probably 25 I didn't add to this list.
There's a lot you didn't add, actually.
That's what I'm saying. This was just like...
Not in a bad way, but it's just like we could talk about this for a hot minute.
Yeah. Let me put it this way. This is what I didn't have to look up.
Oh, you
this
did
was
this
just
from memory?
On my brain. So,
that's impressive.
Yeah.
But we're not just doing OGs and remakes. We're also doing foreign films and American remakes as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's a couple on here.
I mean, there's a few too that we could add that are technically like shot for shot, quote unquote. But I guess we'll just start just sort of nailing down the list, see how it goes, venture out and see what happens. So, I mean, do you want to start, Fro?
Oh, I would love to start. We'll start with Texas Chainsaw 1974. And then the American remake, I'm fucking stupid. The remake from 2003.
Excuse me, what language was the first one?
Wondering, did any other countries remake the Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Because if they did, I'm kind of interested.
I would love to see a Bollywood Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That's $1 million idea.
That's what I'm saying.
If
or
I
like
can see,
a Spanish one would be sick.
If I too. Can see Leatherface dance like the dudes from RRR. Wielding a chainsaw.
I mean, technically, isn't that Texas Chainsaw 2, though?
I mean,
he does a dance with a chainsaw like the whole movie.
You're not wrong, I guess. I'm just trying to think of the Bollywood flair and just see if that
so we need
out.
Explosions. We need car crashes. Lots of guns. Lots of guns. Just, but no one gets hit.
Lions and shit, like,
oh, we need the most exotic animals ever.
I think Russian would be a fun one. A Russian Leatherface. Leatherface is terrifying enough. Make him Russian, make him sling some vodka around with a chainsaw.
Can he run on the ice?
Can he what?
Can he run on the ice?
Cool runnings. Can Russians do that already?
They're like superhumans. I don't know.
I mean,
I wouldn't put.
That's what I'm saying. That shit's scary.
Whatever works for me, man.
So, 1974's Texas Chainsaw, regarded as one of the best horror movies of all time. It's incredible. Tobe Hooper made that movie gross. And clearly it was good enough for Rob Zombie to model every single movie after it. But it is one of the few movies that the remake is equally as good and in some cases preferred.
I think some people might fight you on that, but personally I agree. But also I'm a sucker for Jessica Biel. So
this is I would have to say, like, I saw probably bits and pieces of the original prior to the remake coming out. And when the remake came out, saw that one in theaters and everything, and I loved it. And once I went back and watched the original, I have to say I like the remake a lot better.
They're definitely different.
I'm curious from a perspective. Like, I feel like a lot of people have probably seen growing up maybe a remake before the original, obviously, since the originals were so long ago at this point. Do you think seeing the remake first affects someone's perspective on the original?
I 100% think so, because, you know, if I would have saw the original and then the remake, it's very hard to say, but like, it definitely made me some bias, because I was comparing the original to the remake, which the remake I really loved. And I think the original is good too. I just think it was really different for, obviously, 1974. It was dark, it was gritty. You weren't used to seeing a lot of those things. And so it made it you know, a spectacle at that time. But then, you know, knowing Leatherface and just how some of the movies played out, it, you know, it's so crazy now that we're really talking about it. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie that I can really remember seeing full length and all the details was the one with Matthew McConaughey.
Next Generation.
Yes. So my family just always kept playing it. I can just see him jumping off the roof and his little mechanical leg and stomping and stuff. And so I don't know if it seemed like to me it got better back in 2003 after seeing a few of those from the little bit of memories that I had.
I definitely think that's like the odd one out. Like that one is just chaos. The entire movie is chaos.
It's just the fact that Matthew McConaughey's in it, man. It's so weird.
Yeah, they said, hey, Matthew, you want to be batshit insane and be in a movie? Cool.
I mean, he's pretty good at that in a lot of his movies.
Yeah,
and a lot
agreed.
Of his films, so. But it's just, I feel like, I mean, it's not that strange thinking about it because a lot of big-time actors obviously got their start in horror films. Jennifer Aniston, George Clooney, Johnny Depp, whatever. But I don't know, just watch it. I couldn't tell you the last time I watched that movie, to be honest. It's been a very, very
a minute,
long time.
Right?
Like, I don't, the Texas Chainsaw series is not one that I venture into past, like, the first two and the remake, and that's really about it.
I feel that.
And especially not the last one.
Oh, God. The fifth one.
Yikes.
Speaking of, well, that wasn't a remake, I guess. That was,
that was a reboot.
Sequel, reboot, whatever you want to call it. We don't talk about that movie. It hurts my head.
Yeah.
I guess, was that straight to Netflix?
Yeah.
They had a Netflix deal.
They were going to get a theater release, and then Netflix offered them more money, so they took it.
So,
which is wild.
For Netflix horror, just because to me their catalog isn't the greatest. Like when it comes
to very hit or miss.
Was it a great Netflix horror movie compared to what they?
I think if you wouldn't have put the Texas Chainsaw name on it, it would be like watching any other like random choice horror movie on Netflix.
I guess, but like there's been some Netflix releases that have been really, really good, but majority of them are probably like absolute dog shit. Like let's see if I can name any. Bird Box 2. Yeah, Run Rabbit Run wasn't that great. The Silence was a Netflix original that was a complete ripoff of A Quiet Place and was so bad. How dare you ruin my boy Stanley Tucci like that? But then they also have other ones like I'm pretty sure Platform was a Netflix
I think so
original, which was incredible. Or I think The Ritual was also a Netflix one.
I remember seeing The Platform and The Ritual. I'm curious if The Ritual was a Netflix, like straight to Netflix.
I think it might have just been like a horror film on Netflix. I don't know if it was like a Netflix original.
Yeah,
I guess that's I'm pretty gonna look up Netflix original horror movies. If you hear my typing, I'm so sorry. I think so they had Apostle was a Netflix original horror film.
True.
That scene forever haunts me.
Hush,
The Perfection, Under the Shadow, which was a very slept on one. Cargo was all right. Wasn't my favorite by any means. But yeah, they've definitely had some utter tier trash. As a lot of their films as well. So as a Netflix original, mid-tier, I guess. I don't know. Parts of that entire movie just really bugged me, mainly for the fact that the characters were the most unlikable people ever. So it's like I was cheering for Leatherface, but at the same time, I didn't really like his character either all that much throughout that.
I mean, at least he turned into a dolphin. So... I mean, he's got to count for something, right?
We called that in the movie, too. We literally said he was going to, like, swan dive out of that little hole with the water. And that's exactly what happened. So it was a process in itself.
Who put that together? Who wrote that scene?
I don't know.
You know what's a good idea? Let's do this. I mean, the real question, Fro, I know your answer, obviously. Cody, you prefer the remake. Fro, you prefer the original?
Yes.
Okay, so that's I'm like in a middle ground when it comes to both. I adore the original. The original got away with so much. It started so much. It's the pioneer for slashers in reality. And it didn't show that much.
There's no death on screen.
Yeah.
In that entire movie.
The fact that it can get away with that, because nowadays people would be pissed about that, but you can go back and watch that film and be like, the way it was done was so classy and just tactical that they had to get away with it, obviously, because of budgetary restraints. But then the remake comes along. It's a more modern, grittier version of it. But it's just fun. It's just done really, really well. I still think the original edges the remake, but barely. And yeah. I mean, barely. Yeah. But a lot of people hate the remake.
Well, that's dumb.
Yeah, I like both of them. And man, with the, like I said, I can imagine, especially with some of these films, I really dislike when people look at some of the 70s and 80s tropes and they're just like, oh, like who would go outside when they heard a noise or go into the basement and shit like that. But it's like, you know, at that time, people were way more vulnerable. They were like checking, like we didn't know what those sounds in the basement were until we started seeing everybody, you know, disappear. And if I would have seen this movie in 1974, I would have been scared shitless. I remember a few things about the time around, like when this movie came out and they were banning like the VHS from like video stores and stuff like that. Like it would have definitely creeped me back out or creeped me out in the 70s.
The funny thing about like the tropes you were talking about too, though, is like modern day films do that consistently still.
Right.
So it's like, I guess it doesn't really seem much different, even though like obviously people were more ignorant and ignorance probably the bad word to use back then, but you get what I'm saying. But like nowadays you still see the same tropes all the time, but that movie just did it so much better.
Exactly. Just,
also yeah. The fact that she got away from Leatherface makes a lot of sense too, because he's just a fat dude with a chainsaw.
Yeah. So, and then they rebooted it and they said, eat this chainsaw. And
homeboy threw that thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely yeeted a chainsaw.
Launched it.
Proud. Proud of him.
All right, Chandler, would you like to go next?
Are we just going down the list or am I picking randoms?
Why not?
Oh, God. Okay, well, I mean, okay, I get arguably known as, what, probably a top three horror film for almost every single person in the world.
Yeah.
We're talking The Thing, which I was talking about this with Derek today, and I think the 80s Thing at this point has completely overtaken the original. I think it's one of those rare instances where the remake has completely overshadowed the original, and almost no one, someone will briefly talk about the original, sure, but they won't mention it in the same light as the 80s version. And I think there's very few films that have been able to do that. I think partially because obviously the original was made back 50s, 60s,
51. Right?
51. Yeah. So, but I think there's very few movies that have been able to do that. I think mainly because it was so far back, but The Thing, The Fly, and probably The Blob.
And 13 Ghosts.
Oh, wow. I forgot about 13 Ghosts.
It's another one where a lot of people don't know that it's a remake.
I totally forgot about that one, too. But yeah, I think those are like some of the only few films that have really been given the opportunity to completely overshadow their original counterpart.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, there's another one. I didn't put it on here, but The Crazies is another one.
That's another one. I think the remake is better on that one, too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, same.
I can't remember the last time I watched the original, to be honest. But what are your guys' thoughts? I mean, obviously, I think everybody loves The Thing. I don't think anyone hates the remake. Yeah.
If you hate The Thing, I don't trust your movie opinions ever.
100%. I know I've never seen the original Thing. I've only like seen the 80s version. Is it worth going back and watching the 50s version?
It's definitely different.
Yeah, it's like nowhere near the same theatric experience. Like
yeah.
It's nowhere, to me, it's nowhere similar. It's just not even a close comparison anymore. But then obviously you have the other one too. What, the 2011
prequel bullshit?
Yeah, we don't. That one wasn't great either. Because that's one of those movies where, to answer the question, yes, I think it's absolutely worth going back to see it just for reference purposes. But then obviously when they made the reboot or whatever the hell it was in 2011, I think that's one instance where CGI absolutely destroyed a film. Like, even if you could have the best CGI in the world for something like that, and I still think it doesn't give it the same vibe that it should have had.
No, 82's The Thing was like the practical effects movie. I mean, like, and you followed American Werewolf in London. Like, all the movies in 81 that he followed, and your practical effects are top notch.
It's impressive to say the least.
Yeah.
Not to mention just the then at that point, now be known as probably arguably the greatest horror film ever made. Not in my opinion, but
It's right there.
Yeah. I borderline think they're tied at this point for at least movies that are most mentioned in the horror community. Yeah. Most people are like, The Exorcist is the best thing ever made. But then slightly behind that, you'll always see someone saying, The Thing is right there, especially if it's sci-fi related.
And one of those movies has Kurt Russell with a flamethrower. So
it's hard to beat.
Yeah, 100%.
Iconic.
And, you know, it's funny because I don't see it on this list, but you had mentioned it, Chandler. Sean, you said 13 Ghosts is a remake. I've seen clips of it. I've never seen the original remake, but just thinking about how the remake went, I couldn't imagine the original being similar to it. What would y'all say?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Vincent Price is in the original, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't think I've seen the original.
Let's see.
Like, I remember you mentioning that, like, I don't even know, like a year or something ago. Like, I recently found out that was a remake. I had no clue. I thought
that it came out in 1960.
Oh, that's probably why I've never seen it. That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was one of those movies that I grew up on. And in my head, that was just the movie. Like, it never existed otherwise. Especially because that one came out. When did the remake come out?
Oh, what I write down.
2001?
It was that long ago?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so from 1960 to 2001. Like.
Well, that's one of those rare ones where it's like, I'm actually curious. Hold on. Because Rotten Tomatoes gives it an 18%.
The original or the remake?
No, the remake. But the audience score is at like right at like a 49, 50%.
It's got Matthew Lillard and Tony Moran, bro. He gave us Monk. And it's got Shannon Elizabeth.
And you see her titties.
And you see a man get cut in half by a glass door.
Yeah, but titties. Titties are better than that.
Fair, but she's scary. So
She's scary, but I mean, hear me out, all right?
Do tell.
I'm going to leave it there.
She's going to stab your ass, bro.
In which way?
With the knife that she carries the entire movie.
I mean, that's a good way to go.
I don't know if you can tell. She don't like people.
It's a good way to go. That's all I'm saying. If I'm going to die, I'd prefer that.
None of the ghosts like people.
It doesn't sound like you would have to compete with her exes, though. You know, because they're probably gone, which like is
not true.
It's a Scott Pilgrim situation, you know.
But then you also have to look out for, you know, the hammer who has a giant railroad spike through his head.
That's hype.
Him and the jackal.
The jackal. Oh, man. Jackal's terrifying.
I see everybody cosplay the jackal now. It's always nice to see.
Because it's sick.
Who was the one on? Who was the person on TikTok that did
Antichrist? If you don't follow Antichrist, go follow them. They've done a Annabelle cosplay and Jackal. Those are the only two that I've seen so far.
Cody, what were you saying?
No, that's some tough cos. Like, I'm actually curious. I'm gonna have to check that out after this. One thing I just want y'all to know, because I don't know if y'all know it, this is the first time I've seen it. So I was looking up The Thing, you know, to see if I could see like a clip of like the original. And it says one of the most frequent questions, like if you just Google search it, it says people also ask, why was The Thing a flop? And I just thought the paragraph underneath it was very interesting. It says, many reasons have been cited for its failure to impress audiences. Competition from films such as E.T., The Extraterrestrial, which offer an optimistic take on an alien visitation.
And they all came out in 82, like back to back.
I didn't think about that. It did compete with E.T. and other things, didn't it?
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Was the thing considered a flop in theaters?
I mean, compared to like Close Encounters and E.T., I'm gonna say yeah.
Well, just more did it like did it
underperform, I guess.
Underperform, but also become more of a cult classic as time went on.
Yeah.
Sort of like, I don't know, fucking Reservoir Dogs or Big Lebowski, any of those types of movies, you know?
So every Kurt Russell film.
I really just named a bunch of Kurt.
Well, name most of them. Escape from New York, Big Trouble in Little China, fucking Death Proof. Like, most of his movies go hard.
I don't really know if he's in... Is he in, like, a bad movie?
I don't know.
That's a really good question. Now I'm curious. Hold on.
Can't say.
Hateful Eight, Going to the Galaxy. Oh, he's in Tombstone. I forgot about that.
Oh, true.
Tombstone's sick. And then, I don't even know at this point. We should probably not talk about Kurt Russell for like 5 hours.
Bone Tomahawk?
Another one.
Like...
Bone Tomahawk. I've heard, and y'all can, you know, verify, no spoilers, but is there like some disturbing
scene? You're gonna hurt before the scene even starts.
Okay, I'll give a one word clue, and it's wishbone, and that's all I'll say.
I'm super excited. I don't know why I haven't watched that movie yet. It's been on my list for the longest time, and I've only seen people talk about like that, you know, something of that nature, and I always like try to scroll away or whatever and stuff where I see it, but I'm super interested in seeing
it. Sid Haig is in it for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, like literally like 2 seconds. But then like, what's his name? Craig Zoller? Yeah, I think that's his name. His version, just the way he films things, he always uses practical effects for all of his films, but they're like, how do I even describe his practical effects? They're just so gritty and like, you can tell they're fake, but he always makes a point with the effect. Like, he always tries to make it really, really gritty and raw.
Yeah.
Like, yes, this is a practical effect, but I'm going to make you feel this. Like, because he also, other movies he's done, like he did Brawl in Cell Block 99 with, I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's with Vince Vaughn. That's my favorite Vince Vaughn film. And he plays a boxer who goes to jail to basically get revenge on this person who like killed someone of his or like a friend of it or a loved one or whatever, if I remember correctly. So he goes on like the inside and he's like an ex-retired boxer. And take in mind, Vince Vaughn's huge. He's like,
he rips the hood off a car.
Yeah, literally. And the practical effects and fight scenes are just fucking painful to watch. Like, they're not the best choreographed thing in the world, but it doesn't matter. It's like really realistic, and just like him punching someone like 8 times in the face, you're just like, I'm gonna go take an ice bath, that hurts, I don't like it. And then the very last scene is just nuts in that film. So watch that too. Like, all his films are like
slept
that
on film for sure.
And Bone Tomahawk is very, very similar. He also has another movie literally called Dragged Across Concrete.
That
movie also brutal.
The title alone sounds brutal.
Yeah, like all his films are the practical effect, it's cool to see a director doing stuff like that, because he clearly loves his craft and wants to make it like a very cool sort of thing. But Bone Tomahawk is just, imagine a horrific sci-fi western.
Look, that's pretty trippy. I like that.
That also has like local tribes that hunt everybody
who are technically like aliens.
Yeah, so it's like the native part of like Green Inferno, I guess.
I like
that. They make them 5 times more terrifying.
Oh yeah, they're
like,
they live in that big ass cave.
Oh, dude. And they built huge cages and shit. They're all huge too. They're like massive. I hate all of it.
That might be, like I said, I'm gonna watch that movie this week. And also, so it seems like The Thing had a $15 million budget, and what they made in the box office during its theatrical run was $19.6 million.
So it's still cleared.
Yeah.
I'm shocked it was a $15 million budget. Back in the 80s, that's actually massive.
Yeah, I was about to say, what is inflation? Right.
It's probably like $100 million budget now.
Right.
Like Avatar or The Way of Water. Here's $1 billion.
Right. Okay, so E.T. was 10.5.
That's nuts.
And the thing is only 4.5 more than that.
But how much did E.T. gross?
I
mean, that's a Spielberg film.
E.T.
Yeah.
Wait. Repeat that, Cody.
Hold on, wait. By the end of its theatrical run, it had grossed $359 million in the United States and Canada and $619 million worldwide. So
yeah, and the number on Google for like box office is $792.9 million.
So this is like Terrifier 2 numbers where they had like a $200,000 budget and ended up getting about $15 million. And this
Oh my God.
18 times its budget. That's wild.
Spielberg could have lived off that. Like, he could have never made another movie.
Well, yeah, he did Jaws and then followed it with E.T. Like, you're good, bro.
Cleared your budget by, like, I don't know, $500 million.
Right.
They were going to let him do whatever he wanted to do after.
Good.
I would hope.
And now we've got David Gordon Green making movies. Ooh. Stupid.
Casual shade.
Go back to comedies, bro.
His comedies are good.
That's what I'm saying. Go back to writing comedies.
But then he wrote the Halloween trilogy. So, yeah.
Yeah.
No. Who's next? Who wants the next one?
Yeah, Cody, you want to go off the list?
Yeah, let's do it. So, it looks like we have Dawn of the Dead. The original came out in 1978. The remake came out in 2004. Once again, this was one of those movies that I saw the remake before I seen the original. But I loved Dawn of the Dead, the remake. One of the iconic scenes in my head that I can always think about is when the one guy's holding the sign from
He's just chilling. He's like,
yeah. And even the intro, like, those zombies weren't the type of zombies that normally are going to survive from. But I went back and I watched the remake, and I love the remake. You know, I've watched it multiple times. It's very hard. Like, it does feel like two different movies. Like, the Dawn of the Dead, the remake felt more dreadful. Like, I was like, damn, everyone's about to die here. Like, there's just too much going on. And then with the original, even though a lot of shit was going on, it seemed like the two officers had a pretty good grasp on the situation and at least having some good survival skills. But I have to say the remake was really good in my opinion. What about y'all?
78 is my second favorite horror movie of all time. And technically it's more of a comedy than a horror movie.
Okay.
Like, it's a horror comedy, but like 70-30 maybe. Like, Tom Savini's riding with a bicycle gang through a mall. People are getting their blood checked. We're throwing pies. They're getting stuck on the fucking escalator. They're walking across the skating rink. Like, that movie is incredible, but I want to say the remake was the introduction of alpha zombies, right?
In film. In a technicality, I think so, yes. I don't think anything before that had alpha zombies that could actually run and be terrifying. At least not that I'm aware of, unless there's a 90s film I'm completely missing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because Savini's what? Return of the Living Dead? Or was it Night of the Living Dead?
Night of the Living Dead, the remake was 1990.
Yeah.
And they were still walking in Return of the Living Dead, which was 85.
I'm actually curious. Introduction of alpha zombies. Well, that's not right.
Was
the same first World War Z?
No, it's like alpha zombies, or simply alphas, are a variant of intelligent zombie first introduced in Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead. No, that is, well, no.
No, absolutely not.
Well, I guess the term alpha zombie, because he actually used the term alpha in that movie.
Yeah, zombies that hate women. Boo!
I hated that That movie, I didn't hate that movie. I thought it was fun, but just the plot holes bugged the shit out of me.
Yeah, took me out.
Getting it, I actually don't know. I want to say it was definitely Dawn of the Dead 2004.
Would 28 Days Later can be considered zombies?
To me, that's a... See, I always have that conversation with people. To me, that's a rage virus. So, like, in my head, a zombie has to come back from the dead.
Yeah,
but like, in those movies, it's like, it's straight up a virus that turns people into whatever. It's sort of like The Sadness. The Sadness is sort of the same concept. Or World War Z, are they undead, or is it a virus?
I don't remember. It's been hot minutes since I've watched World War Z.
Interesting. Actually, this Google thing says the first fast zombie was the first modern zombie, the one which appeared in Night of the Living Dead.
They all walk in Night of the Living Dead. I'm very confused.
Hold on. Now,
walking, apparently. Jogging. A slow jog.
Yeah, it only says one, but it won't let me go into detail with it, which is annoying. But in my opinion, it would still be Dawn of the Dead 2004.
Yeah.
Especially majority, almost all of them were like that. So there you go. But I mean, in my case, that's one of the only instances where the remake, to me, completely clears the original. I adore the remake with a passion. I love the original.
Yeah.
But they're very different films.
Yes, they are.
One thing that this list has made me realize, I know a lot of people try to shit on remakes of like, oh, remakes don't need to be done, but there's some fucking some
bangers.
Yeah.
Like there's definitely some better remakes than I think people give credit for. Are majority of them probably shit and not necessary? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Why does The Strangers need a remake when it was made in 2008?
Oh, you mean a trilogy that no one asked for?
Yeah, like why does...
Strangers. Let me say this. I got shitty horror movie taste, so The Strangers 2 was better than the original Strangers.
You're not the first person I've heard say that.
Look. So, yeah, the first Strangers terrified me. I was like, oh, this is whatever. But since I have, like, such a soft spot for, like, 80s shit, like, the second one gave me, like, the 85s, and I enjoyed it more. I don't think it's a better movie than the first one, but my personal taste, I do think the second one's better. And I think there's a lot that they can do. My gripe with the first The Strangers is probably the same gripe I have with The Purge with Ethan Hawke. The very first one is not a lot happened. Which, you know, The Strangers built a more tense atmosphere. But, man, I'm ready to see the little trio fuck up Airbnb.
Well, the thing with the Purge films, too, is, like, the Purge was never meant to be a home invasion movie. That's what the first one was. And when you come up with a concept like that, you don't want to be in a house. You want to see what's going on outside, what's going on, etc. But I feel like because that movie was given such a big budget, and it's Blumhouse, correct, if I remember right?
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
But like because it was given such a big budget and all this other shit, I think it was almost like it's too cheesy at times. Like they pass it off like this weird sort of like just cheese fest a lot of time. It almost takes itself too seriously. Whereas I feel like if you were to make a movie like that and actually focus on the gritty aspect that people are just murdering people for a night, it could be so good. But as they've gone on, they've just gotten way worse.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah,
I agree.
Which is unfortunate because also in the first one, I mean, Ethan Hawke's in your movie, bro. Like, come on, make a better movie. Like, the first movie's not the worst thing in the world. It has its elements, but that's a home invasion film. I didn't come to watch a home invasion film. I came to watch Homeboy with his Gatling gun in the back of a goddamn semi-truck 100%. Maul people. Like, sure. Like, was that cheesy as hell? Absolutely. But it was a fun part of the movie. Yeah. So, but then, like, you dive into it and you have, like, that gang of women with the candy and, like, whatever and, like, all that other shit. Or, like, the Forever Purge. Like,
the witch.
Yeah, like that shit just got really cheesy and really real quick. Like it could have been done so much better. Because I feel like a concept like that doesn't come around very often. That's an original concept.
Yeah.
Would it actually happen? Who knows?
I think a lot of people that were like, we do The Purge, like you're going to stay in your house.
Absolutely, bro. I'd stay in my house. I'd dig a. I'd probably just play video games all night, to be honest. But and just hope no one breaks
yeah,
in
we'll,
house
we'll
and
just,
murders me.
We'll just lock the door.
Yeah, it's fine.
If you don't let them in, they won't come in. So
easy enough.
That's just common courtesy.
Easy enough.
Right.
I mean, the whole first movie could have been avoided if he just said no. And that's it.
That's what I'm saying.
End of film.
Yeah, but obviously we can't have it that way because that means no movie. So
really? Is that how that works? Thank you, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know, like dumb character, dumb decision, movie.
It's the only way you get a horror movie most of the time. So.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Execute formula perfectly.
Yeah, 100%.
The character made all the bad decisions, even when he decisions.
Justin Long, my dude. The king of making terrible decisions in most every movie he makes. Yep. Aside from Accepted.
When he went, I loved Accepted.
That movie's so good.
It is funny. You got what, Jonah Hill in it, or a young Jonah Hill? But yeah, when he went down the pipe to investigate the creeper and Jeepers Creepers, like I was like, why are you doing this?
Just like use your instinct. I mean, say it with me. That's some white people shit.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like it's just great. Like
Caucasian shenanigans.
Put it on the ban already. List. Put it on the ban list, bro.
What was it?
Caucasian shenanigans.
I like it.
Tell you, like I, anytime I see like scenes like that, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. Like, oh, the Caucasians are up to it again.
That's some Saltine Seagull, some shit, you know. It just doesn't. That's the thing, like that, like all the tropes nowadays are just like, I get it. It puts asses in seats. I get it, but like, no one in real life would do half the shit that.
Of course not.
At least I would hope not.
Yeah, you intentionally have to write dumb characters.
Yeah, I mean that's because you cheer for them to be expendable. Unless you write a good movie where you actually care about the characters.
Rare.
do y'all think Scream does a good job of trying to be meta throughout the entire series?
I think it's done a decent job to stay relevant, and I think it's probably the most consistent franchise at this point. Do I think 6 and 5 were incredible films? No. Were they enjoyable? Sure. However, like 6 became borderline almost too predictable, but also like no one died.
Yeah, especially Chad. He got stabbed like 80 times.
Like everyone who potentially was getting hurt ended up surviving. Like,
technically, yeah.
Some died. Some died.
Her girlfriend died because, I mean, she was climbing the ladder across the building. And
well, yeah, but like the sister, right? She had like 5 different instances where she came face to face with death, didn't die. Her brother got stabbed and double teamed. Like, got probably stabbed at least 20 plus times. Survives like it's nothing. Give me a break. It's just, I don't know. Like, I think I liked 5 a little more than 6.
5 I liked better than 6.
But sure. Most people are saying the opposite, but I think I liked 5 a little more. I think it was more sort of original to the original movies, but 6 was almost a carbon copy of 2, technically.
Well, I mean, that's what they're trying to do anyway.
What, emulate like the old ones?
Yeah.
Like in sequence, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The gift on that keeps giving.
Good conversation, Fro. Good conversation.
Thank you. All right, next on this list is The Fly. Vincent Price's Fly from 1958. And then the incredible David Cronenberg 1986 remake. I mean, I feel like we all feel the same way.
I mean, once again, I think that's one of the only ones where the remake has far surpassed the original.
Yeah. Oh,
the transition? Oh, my God.
Still gross to this day.
Oh, yeah. The king of body horror, baby.
Cronenberg. And even his son at this point is
right
up there, too. Cause,
that's true.
Possessor, Infinity Pool. Like, he's got a good repertoire so far. I think Possessor sort of went under the radar a bit, but like It's slow, but the concept behind that movie is really fucked.
I mean, he's a Cronenberg. He can't write a happy movie.
Fair enough. I mean, what did you think of Cody? What did you think? Did you see Crimes of the Future?
I have not seen Crimes of the Future yet.
Okay. It's a Cronenberg.
We're going to have people watch us have sex, and then my body's going to grow extra organs that it doesn't need.
No. It's not sex. Remember, it tortures
them. Oh, yeah.
So they watch each other.
They do surgery for pleasure. And there's a kid who eats a plastic trash can. Yeah, there's like a whole group of people who like develop this plastic to where they don't need food. But like they have, do you remember the tattooed organs thing? Because they're the only ones that have tattooed organs.
If I remember correctly, they're one of the only people with like original organs still. Like they don't have the sense for eating plastic or whatever. Like they can still have normal food or what? I don't know. Like it was very weird. Like to be honest, not really a horror film either. It was very much
more of a sci-fi.
Yeah, like an experimental sci-fi film.
And he's got that weird ass like huggy chair. So he has a chair that he sits in that like holds him like a skeleton, but it moves to help him digest when he eats.
Oh, shit.
So he just does this naked while he's sitting in a chair.
He definitely wasn't naked.
I think he was naked at least once in the chair. And then you had the dude with the eyeballs all over him. That was weird.
The eyeballs. I mean, the ears? Yeah. He had ears all over.
Oh, he did have ears. Yeah. Maybe I should have opened my eyeballs. I would have seen that he had ears.
That's good.
Dumb.
It's quality.
But yeah, I think The Fly highly surpasses the Vincent Price original. Jeff Goldblum's great. Gina Davis is incredible. They almost, you know, make fly children.
It's a really good commentary, bro.
Before he got blowed away.
Blowed away?
Yeah.
He got blowed away?
Yeah. Gina Davis like, oh, my boyfriend's going to save me. And he's like, ha, acid spit on your leg. And then blammo.
Movie.
That was it. End of movie.
Cut scene.
Yeah. 100%.
I'll make a 10-second version of that. That's all it's going to be.
Yeah, we could just cut that clip down. So it's no. Yeah. Boom.
Title card. I like it.
Maybe we should start doing that. Take like whole movie trailers and just cut them into
like 5 second sequence. Like we'll do it like Vine, just 6 seconds.
Tell me what the movie's about in 6 seconds. Cool. Love
that. We're going next.
My Bloody Valentine.
You know, I prefer the original over the remake. And
thank you.
Remember when the remake came out and it was like in 3D?
3D!
Yeah. When I went, and now I need to watch the remake, but not in 3D. But I remember specifically during that time watching, I was like, horror movies don't ever need to be in 3D again. Like, I really disliked it so much.
We all saw Jaws 3D, we saw how that played out.
You know, I've never watched Jaws 3D in its entire
life. You have to. It's the best 3D shark of all time.
I always see that clip with a fucking shark about to fucking.
And then it breaks the glass. 3D. Yep.
I got to go back and watch that. But yeah, I love the original. I thought the original was really good. But if y'all can convince me to watch the remake, I would love to give it a second chance because I like the original.
I think that's a remake of a horror film that gets a lot of hate, and I think it's a fun movie.
It's fun. It's just like, I guess with me, like, makes sense for you because you like more modern things and I like more.
Well, I still prefer the original of that film, though.
Well, I'm saying. Like, when it comes to movies that have like pretty well known or well done remakes, I usually prefer the original. It's like a time and place thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why all 80s movies are the way they are. It was time and place. You only had so much. You had terrible characters who you fucking hated. You always had some dance sequence or a party somewhere.
A lot of boobs.
A lot of boobs. Like, practical effects were sick. All the kills were sick. And you created a bunch of non-icon icons, I guess.
And a lot of boobs.
Yeah, double a lot of boobs.
That's the main reason I love 80s films, bro.
Yeah. Come on.
But yeah, what was the movie the other day you talked to me about? It was she's in like a blue one piece with glasses.
Oh, Doom Asylum.
Doom. Yeah, I already knew what you were talking about because
Kirsten Davis and Doom Asylum. Yeah.
Yo, as soon as you said glasses in the blue swimsuit,
the fact that he knew that so quickly.
That movie is not good.
I've never seen that film.
Sean, you're a man of culture. Because
thank you.
Of that scene. And, you know, I never watched Sex and the City, but apparently that was that specific actress, like film debut, I think, or something of that nature. Yeah, it's an awful movie.
Horrible. Yeah. The dude's literally like, "You killed my wife. Now I'm just gonna live here." And then
is it worth watching for her alone?
Yeah, and if you want trash, watch Doom Asylum for sure.
Because he literally had sent me a photo and was just like, "Watch this movie," and I'm like, "Who in the hell is that?" Because I don't know what it is. Can someone explain this to me? 80s women hit different.
100%.
I don't know why, especially in horror films. I don't know why. I don't get it, but there's something about it. Props to y'all.
I've heard of a new term that I didn't know probably, you know, a month ago called a delusional ship or something of that. Like people who create these relationships
in their head.
Yeah. And I have delusional ships with like so many 80s final girls or characters that have got off early in the film. So, yeah. But the girl with the glasses, blue swimsuit, she deserved better. I wish I could have been there to save her, but, you know, shit.
Hero material.
That's the best thing I've ever heard. I wish I could have been there to save her in the movie.
Yo, Sean, do you remember the scene with the two characters? Remember the three girls are at the top of the
building. Yeah.
They're talking shit. But one of them liked the guy in the group friend.
Is his name Darnell?
Yeah, I think it's Darnell. And they're like running in this fucking forest sequence. Yo, Chandler, it's so weird. And like I said, yeah, you definitely need to watch it when you just need some bullshit to watch. Telling you, it is shitty.
I mean, Sean's been getting me. So I, in the horror realm of things, I grew up with, like, I was relatively newer to horror. Like, I didn't really start watching horror movies, like, legitimately, I guess, until maybe, not super new, maybe, like, beginning of high school. And, like, when I was 14, maybe. But I didn't grow up with, like, old 80s trash. Like, I never watched any of those films, really. So I don't really have, like, an attachment to a lot of those films. So in that, I missed a ton of movies that came out during that time. Regardless of how trashy they might be. So I'm still catching up on a lot of films that came out back then that I've never seen. Like I had never seen The Changeling. Watched it the other day. Great best film.
House film ever made.
I had never seen Intruder. Awesome film. Really, really fun. Really cheesy. Trash, but fun. But then Sean also shows me movies like Bloodhook and I Want to Die. Or what's your other favorite one? Night Stalker.
It's Night Killer.
Put some respect on it. Sorry. Utterly the worst movie I've ever had to sit through in my life. But
that movie rocks.
Honestly, one of the most memorable things ever when a guy sticks a gun in a girl's mouth and she just goes, hurrah!
Look.
Funniest thing ever.
Now I feel like I have to watch it. I have to share this trauma.
Oh yeah, Night Killer is a 1990s Italian film about a man that like embalms women, and he puts on these like animalistic gloves, and when he puts them on, he can magically like punch through people.
There's
like a whole kidnapping plot. It's so weird. But
it's not even weird. It's just
since you like trash, you'll like Night Killer a lot.
Yeah, really? And it's on Tubi for
that's free. What I'm saying.
I'm watching this shit.
Watch that and watch Bloodhook.
Bloodhook's long though.
Yeah, that movie has no business.
So long.
It's like 2 hours. Has no business being that long. None.
Yeah. I agree.
But a dude did make a DIY trash can gun, which is
he did.
Right? It was a trash can harpoon, right?
I think so, yeah.
Wait, yeah. Is that in that movie? Am I thinking of something else? Am I thinking of something? I think I'm thinking of a different movie.
The poster for Blood Hook already has me sold on some.
Oh, yeah. So what if I told you, like, so the villain, like, fishes with the hook. So he stands on the boat and gets close to me, but, like, all the scenes, the hook never goes in them. They just kind of, like, pull it to their body.
Grab and it then, and put it on themselves.
Yeah, and then they're just dragged into the water.
One guy literally in one clip literally grabs it and then puts it on his dick. It just
goes. Yeah. Yeah. Yo, they were doing whatever they wanted in the 80s.
Dude, it's a trauma. I'm pretty sure it's a trauma.
Wait, did I see Toxic Avenger? No, I didn't see Toxic Avenger come up with this. Yeah, I'm watching this shit.
I do fully respect the 80s for just, like, not giving a shit. They did absolutely anything.
Like, 80s was, like, the gross out era.
Pretty much.
I mean, you have, like, Chud, Toxic Avenger, Street Trash.
When did the stuff come out?
85.
Yeah, like, all that type of shit. Like, there's just so much dumb, gross, like, hey, what about this? Yeah, here's a budget. Make it, sure.
Put some goop on it.
Goop. A lot of goop.
Yeah. I was just talking to somebody the other day with, I love the Friday the 13th series, but it's so funny how, you know, 7 and 8 is like, yo, let's get him fighting a telekinesis girl and then let's have him on a fucking cruise ship to New York in the next movie and shit. They were just taking forever.
I mean, which is funny because he didn't even go to New York. He went to, like, it's right outside Toronto.
Even better, bro.
Yeah.
Right.
Hanging in Canada.
But he does kill a girl with a guitar, so that's pretty sick.
Dude, Friday the 13th series is just like, speaking of remakes, we can talk about that one.
Do it.
My favorite thing in the world. When Jason learned archery. Fucking great.
What's the name they have for? I always see people refer to him as like a specific Jason. I don't know if it's like survivalist Jason.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. We talked about it the other day.
Man, that movie had potential. It has one of the best. I did really like the opening scene. I thought the opening scene was, you know, phenomenal in that shit. With the boy or the dude stepping in the bear trap, the boyfriend getting stabbed through the floor. And then you have the girl burning in the sleeping bag. It had some crazy kills within that first, like, 15 minutes. But as it went on, I didn't really like so many of the cast of characters, because that, for me, makes or breaks a movie, especially, like, in the 80s. I judge a lot of films off of how great that group or the core of the friends who are about to meet demise are doing. So if I love, like, you know, the teens or whoever the fuck it is, you know, great chance I'll love the movie. But the Chad in that movie, I don't even know if his name was Chad, but he was definitely a Chad.
But he had such a good line. He said, your nipples have perfect placement. That's the best line ever made.
I had to watch that with my mom. And I was like,
pretty dope.
Damn. I was like, mom, take me home.
That movie is the thing about that movie that makes me so mad is the wasted potential of Aaron Yeo, who is the Asian guy from Disturbia, the dude 21. Like, homeboy is so good, but, like, that movie just ruins it. And I hate it. Oh, my God. Like, I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of the Friday the 13th series, to be honest. Like, the franchise as a whole. I've seen them all. They're fun. But I like Jason, obviously, as an icon. But as movies, they don't really do it for me that much.
Well, I like garbage, so.
Well, and look, Sean, I have the perfect segue since we're talking about remakes and y'all brought up Friday the 13th, the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, Fro, here you go. Your time to shine.
Boo! Like, the movie wouldn't have been so bad had they got his makeup correct. Exactly. That's like, it's the biggest flaw of the entire movie.
But will you watch Halloween with the bird mask? It's the same sort of concept.
Maybe. Hear me out. Don't even think about the timeline because it's not going to make sense. Just shut up and hear me out. Okay. Maybe Michael Myers was listening to Nelly Furtado. And he's like, damn, I could be a bird.
And then he saw how thick she is now and was like, damn, I really
want to
be a
bitch. So if you think about it, so H4, you know, when he like leaps off the roof, he was like, man, I could be a bird. And then in 5, he's like, I am a bird.
Maybe that's how he gets away all the time. No one notices it, but he just sort of flies and hovers around.
That would explain how, you know, when you see him walking and you're running and stuff, like, he fucking flies.
And you don't hear him. And that's why he was driving in the other one, because he wanted to make it seem like no one knew. So he had to throw him off the scent and just crash a car. And then, I got this. Maybe he didn't know how to drive because he flies all the time. That's why he crashed the car.
Yeah, this is actually making some really good sense right now.
Homeboy hovers. Dad, he doesn't even have wings. He doesn't do the. Imagine Michael Myers just behind you, right? And he's just doing this shit, and he's like hovering like a 2 feet in the air, and that's how he gets around.
I'm gonna say something real out of pocket, but like
sounds about right.
So since Michael doesn't make noise, has anyone just wanted to hear him moan like one time?
Yo, he probably. I won't even doubt it. That what was the guy that he killed in the first one, where he like stuck the knife through him and he was hanging on the wall?
That's Annie's boyfriend. It's not Bob, but
I forgot his name.
Yeah, whatever. I feel like if he was ever going to moan during a scene, it was probably that one when he did.
He just tilts. He tilts his head, does this shit, right. And goes.
Or when he was Bob Ghost, he could have just gone.
Is that a moan?
Yeah, no, okay. I just said because he was a Ghost. He could have just went. Spooky.
I wish he would talk. Maybe the reason he doesn't talk is because his voice is really high and squeaky or something like that.
I don't know.
He sounds like fucking Rasta Rooster in that thing.
I feel like it'd be the same way if Jason talked. He'd go, so.
Yeah, that's exactly what he sounded like in part 8.
Like, bro, that's what I'm saying. He's like a caveman.
Yeah, this man don't swim. He doesn't know how to talk. Like
you just grunt.
Pamela Voorhees was like the worst mom ever.
Bro, I'm saying.
At least he makes noise. Like Michael, I think it'd be funny if you just put like a squeaky toy in his mask or something like that. So every time he killed people, he could just sort of like honk it or some shit. I think that'd be great.
Well, man, if they look, we need to bring that suggestion to the table. If they ever decide to right the wrongs of the two Halloween films that came after that remake.
They won't.
It wasn't really a remake, I guess. I guess it was like a sequel or whatever. And so.
It's technically a reboot of the trilogy, I guess, or whatever. But
yeah.
2018 was the only decent one.
Yeah, James Shue Courtney plays a really good Myers.
I feel like anyone could – that's a sort of a hot take maybe. I feel like anyone could play a decent Myers as long as – but the thing is – and obviously that's – well, remake. Speaking of remake.
There you go.
Rob Zombie's Halloween is still my favorite Halloween, and I'll die on that hill. But I love that because his version of Michael Myers is a near 7 foot tall, lingering, massive fucking force to be reckoned with. And that's what I enjoyed, because the other Michael Myers who like or played Michael Myers or whatever are like only like 5'11" or like 6 foot. I'm like, okay, they're like barely above average, you're not that scary to me. But like, to me, he not only brought the physicality, but he also brought the demented aspect too, and sort of combined them.
That's and he why. Killed Junie with a big ass stick.
He did.
Yeah.
And then he watched Green Inferno and Junie also got
poor Junie.
And dude, he dies in everything. I just realized that.
Yeah.
Wasn't, just speaking of like random characters over in horror movies, since we talked about the Nightmare on Elm Street movie, wasn't the boy from Disturbia and the Friday the 13th remake in the remake of the Nightmare on Elm Street? It was like a video camera and stuff. The Nancy.
I'm going to look it up now, actually. That's a great question. Hold on.
Because Nancy was watching this like web video of somebody who experienced the same things that she was, and I swore it was him, but he only had like a 2 minute cameo, if that.
That's very possible.
I'm looking it up, but I don't see it. But it might be possible. He might not even be credited though, because that was a very small thing. But I also try to forget that movie most of the time.
And to piggyback off something else you said, we're talking about good people make my or. Anyone can make a decent Michael Myers. Did Corey fill that void for you?
Uh-uh.
He's not Michael Myers, though. That's the issue. Like, you could try to replace him all you want. That movie as a standalone film would have been whatever. Like, you could have made it fine, sure. But you made Michael look like the weakest version of himself that he's ever looked like. And he gets kicked down by a random dude. He can't get back up. He gets his mask taken. And people were like, oh, it's because he hasn't killed an X, Y, and Z. He killed someone at the end of Kills. What do you mean? And then he went into hiding? And then he's like, he can't do it. Homeboy was in, quote unquote, what, prison for how long?
Ever.
And yeah. Then he was fine murdering everybody right outside the gate. It had no issues. Like, decrepit old man. He could still do it. No problem. So, like, something... Explain? Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, it just, that whole movie just bugged the living shit out of me. You're gonna promote it to be this big battle. Right, Laurie Strode versus Michael Myers. Yeah. So, right, finally gonna happen. Piggyback off that very first film, or and off Kills, obviously, because her daughter gets murdered, which also was really stupid because the end of that made no sense to me either. Like, why would you kill her off? There was no purpose to kill her off. Sure, it gives motivation to Laurie, I guess, but like, it was unnecessary, I feel like. Also, how the fuck did he sneak around, I don't know, 80 people around the house?
Yeah, I don't know.
I get it. You're good at your job, bro, but you're also still a big ass dude. Like, there ain't no way you sneaking around all those people. I don't know.
And Chandler, you actually hit it on the head. So Aaron, you was in the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, but he was uncredited. But I'm looking at his IMDb profile. And
he is on there?
Yeah. Look, he's living his best life. How many people could say that they were in the Friday the 13th in the Nightmare on Elm Street remake?
And Disturbia, one of the most underrated films.
Song's a fucking banger, too.
Which one?
Disturbia.
Yes, yo, I have an unhealthy obsession with eating peanut butter and drinking Red Bulls because of what I saw Shia LaBeouf did. Like, that is like, if anyone asks me, like, what's your weird snack? I am fucking swallowing.
Wild.
That was the most random thing.
Like, that shit lives rent-free in my head. And ever since I, like, seen it, I was like, I'm trying this shit. And I loved it ever since.
Red Bull and peanut butter.
That's going to be my cause of death in like 20 years. I already know. My heart's going to explode with fucking Red Bull and peanut butter, and that's going
to
be it.
Hey, if you're going out, that's the way to do it.
Well, hang on. Are you drinking enough Red Bull to give you wings to get to heaven, though?
Not like Michael Myers fluttering all around and shit, but close enough. I guess I need to go from the, like, the 12 ounces to the
20. Plot twist, Michael Myers is secretly an angel and he's been sent to punish the world.
I mean, angel of death. Yeah, makes sense.
There you go. Right? He's the embodiment of evil. It makes sense.
It's funny because, like, you just brought that back up. I'm picturing Michael flying like Turbo Man does. When he learns how to use the jetpack in Jingle All the Way.
Just with the buttons.
Yeah, and he just goes in circles and shit. Oh.
We lost him.
Please tell. No, he's not.
Does he have a Turbo Man? You don't have a Turbo Man.
But do you have Booster? Because everyone.
Yeah!
That's so sick.
You think I wasn't going to have a Turbo Man? Like,
that's my favorite Christmas movie.
That's mine too. That's so sick.
Yo, this shit, like.
Does it have Arnold Schwarzenegger's face on it, though?
Nah.
And is it in Spanish?
I wish.
Spanish version was so good.
See,
that is the best thing I've ever seen anyone pull.
Was
out.
That one? Was that one of the original ones, or was that like the release from a couple years ago?
A release from a couple years ago.
Because they did that, and they did Iron Giant, and they did Lost in Space. They were all like Walmart exclusives.
Dude. Yeah, this one is a Walmart exclusive. But man, if I would have had adult money in the 90s and shit, I would have 100% tried to get one of them fucking originals.
Yeah.
That's fucking sick.
We love like, that.
If someone comes out, like, anytime I'm trying to impress somebody and, you know, the girls come over, I'm like,
check. Oh, absolutely.
I break out the Turbo Man so they know I'm about business.
And then you bring out the Turbo Man later.
Right. The fucking.
Put that cookie down! And then you, like, you kick baby Jesus's head through a window that's on fire.
And then Sinbad pops out of nowhere. It's like, what's good?
Yeah. And he...
I'm trying save chicks for the rest of us, but I don't know.
Nah, man.
That's the job.
You stealing all of them with that shit. I got no shot. All I got is a creepy clown collection. I don't got a Turbo Man.
Little Turtle Man.
Oh, man, Sinbad had so many good one-liners.
Oh, that movie is incredible.
So many good one-liners, bro. I adore that film. I watched it last Christmas, and my family was like, why are we watching this? I'm like, because I'm cultured, all right?
That is
You're not.
Christmas movie.
I don't want to watch Love Actually for the 80th time. I want to watch Turbo Man, all right? So much better. Better love story.
100%.
Yeah. Bonding between father and son over plastic and near death, I guess.
I think I've seen that somewhere.
Yeah. His dad was definitely on the fucking about to fall off the building and shit.
Yeah.
That movie could have ended really bad. I feel like they could have like made that a 20-second film and it was just Turbo Man. He flies up and just goes.
There's just so many weird scenes in that movie. Like, obviously, when Howard's on the way home and Ted's over and he's making cookies, like, oh, these cookies, Liz! And you're like, Ted, shut up. Why are you in my house? Go away.
It's so funny because, like, now that you say that scene, as a kid, my brain didn't process, like, what, like, was really going on.
Oh, yeah.
What it meant or looked like. But, yo, that is hilarious.
Or, I mean, the fact that he fights a fucking Santa with nunchucks. That's jacked as shit.
Yeah.
Like, I really wish, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme would have played that Santa.
Oh, shit.
Arnold Schwarzenegger versus Jean-Claude
Van Damme. That's what I'm saying.
It's not too late for it to happen. You know?
I mean, I'm sure they could both get it on. I think that'd be a quality movie. Jingle. There we go. Remake. There's a remake we can do. Wouldn't have the same effect, but we can try it.
No, the movie is just them in a room just beating the shit out of each other.
Sequel. Fight over the doll. Go. That's it.
Plot twist, no doll.
But it's Predator Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh,
versus
can we like redo that as Schwarzenegger from Predator?
Sorry. No, it's pedophile Arnold Schwarzenegger. Versus five children. There you go. There's the reason.
And then Gary Busey just falls off a building. I know that's in Predator 2, but I don't care. So I know Cody's kind of on a tight schedule, so I guess we can end on this one, which I think is a pretty good topic, which is It 1990 miniseries versus 2017. I'm going to pick the miniseries every time.
Mm-hmm.
Chan's wearing a Tim Curry shirt. I got a Penny tattoo. Like, Tim Curry's the GOAT, forever the GOAT. I think Bill's performance is great, and it is a darker take on the movie in general. I do like it. I just don't. It's not my first choice.
I feel like it's hard to compare to, just because obviously one was a miniseries, the other one's like a full-blown, big-budget movie.
True.
So it's a weird take. Do I think Skarsgård's interpretation was incredible? Absolutely. The fact that he can do half the shit on his own and not need practical effects to do so is great.
Yeah.
Actors are great. Movie's fun. It has its moments. Pennywise is still terrifying. Oh, God. What's happening?
I can't. Oh, I got it somewhere. But...
Oh, no.
Not
do you have a Pennywise thing somewhere?
Yeah, man. I have a number of Pennywise stuff.
Oh,
but...
same. Where are my glasses? Where are my Pennywise glasses? Right. Where did I put them?
Ooh.
Damn. Where did I put them?
Oh, God. Everybody's trying to find this.
I'll be right back.
Well, everybody, this is...
I'm looking in the dark. You know why I can't find anything? Because it's in the fucking dark.
Are you crawling in the dark? Looking for...
I don't care enough to find them.
A way to find... I quoted Hoobastank, and no one was here to say it.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't crawling. I was searching, though.
Look, I can't find it. I have a... well, let me say this. I like both, and, you know, I love both of them. I can watch all of them. I have watched the remake more times than I've probably seen the original. And I've watched the original a lot, but I really do enjoy the remake. And this is something super crazy. I don't know why people in my family who get me gifts think I have like this obsession with it, which I don't, but I really enjoy the movies. But like, I got so much It shit like somewhere in my house of like the Jack in the Box, Signs of Dairy, all this other stuff. Like, this, so that movie really made me scared of clowns. That and Killer Clowns from Outer Space, even though I know it's not like a horror movie, seeing it as a kid,
it's a horror comedy.
It scared me. And then I just have this irrational fear of clowns, like, ever since.
Don't go into my office room. I literally do nothing but collect clowns.
So I'm taking, you probably got what? It or
well, it's, well it's
they're so, all vintage clowns.
Most of them are like vintage clowns from like antique shops and stuff. Really? So, like, imagine that, but like more terrifying because they're from like the 60s and shit.
And they're cursed.
Yeah, they're. I have a giant Ronald McDonald that's like huge, and he's got all pitch black eyes.
Do you have the what? The clown from Poltergeist?
I actually don't have the clown doll from Poltergeist. Now I think about it, I have a few. I mean, I got obviously Jack from HHN, and I got a lot. I got Wrinkles stuff because Sean's the handler for him when he comes down here, so we know him pretty well. I have a few Pennywise things. I have some John Wayne Gacy shit. Just sort of all over the board. Yeah, just a bunch of random shit. But most of the stuff's not like dedicated to movies. It's just like legitimate clowns that were made back in the day that are 20 times worse.
Yo, I need to see some of that stuff.
We still need to shoot it.
Yeah, I need to do a collection video for our TikTok. I'll do that sometime soon, probably.
Well, I'll use like my actual camera for that.
Oh, true. Well, yeah, that works too.
Yeah.
Hiya.
Okay. Well, funny thing is, we didn't even get through half the list.
Nope. We only got through like five movies.
And there's so many more to talk about.
Man. And there's so many we didn't put on here.
We're gonna make this like part. We're gonna do like five parts of this.
Oh, that's fine. Whatever.
Gives us content.
Well. I hope everybody enjoyed the episode. Let us know when we post this what your favorite remakes are. Make sure to go follow. I pointed the wrong way because I'm stupid. Make sure to go follow Cody. His content's sick. And obviously, he's just a cool dude in general. Make sure to follow us on TikTok, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TikTok. We're trying to go live more. So come hang out. And any parting words, gentlemen?
Man, thank y'all for having me. I already knew the vibes were going to be on 10 coming in here. I can't wait to do this again. And I'm definitely always going to be a big advocate for y'all content and everything y'all do. I'm going to be a big supporter. So, you know, thank you.
Much appreciated.
No problem, man. It was a really good night talking about all these movies and the more movies that we'll eventually talk about soon.
There's so many.
Yeah, it's literally like, they're so fucking...
We got 20 plus, bro. Like more.
Bro, and that's only what's written down.
Yeah, I'm saying you said those are the ones that just came off the top of your head.
Yeah, there's easily another 20, 30 that
Well, some will be quick. Like I could even knock them out right now. Like Firestarter, garbage. Don't watch the new one. like some of them are just like, don't worry about it. It's fine.
Piranha, more titties than the original one.
Hey, Piranha and Piranha Double D are sick. I love those movies. They are. Those movies are great.
You're not wrong.
I don't give a shit what anyone says.
All right. Well, if that is it, then we'll close the episode out. Thanks, everyone, for checking it out.
Caca!
Every fucking time, I swear.